Welcome to the Unbiased Fanboys Podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Thomas.
And we love to talk tech and all things Google.
Yeah, and not only Google, we want to give you our unbiased points of views on all things tech-related, from computers and phones to smart home tech. In this podcast, we hope to be able to share our passion for all our favorite things in tech with you.
But we won't shy away from bringing you the unbiased truth. If we hate something, you'll be the first to know. You can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as social media, at The Fanboy Pod. Our website is unbiasedfanboys.com. Now let's get into the show. Welcome to the Unbiased Fanboys Podcast. I'm your co-host, Adam, and I'm joined with the other co-host, Mr. Thomas, the Engine Train.
Choo-choo.
So we got a lot of shit for you this week. We've got a big news segment, as well as we're really going to hit heavy on the Google Pixel 4a. We're going to talk about how the Google Nest devices were listening to more than they should have. Amazon got an FCC satellite approval, the Oppo Reno 4 Pro, and the Google Fitbit European Union investigation. We got a lot of shit for you this week. Stay tuned. And yeah, let's get into it with our new segment. You want to segue into the new segment again?
Yeah, let's get drunk.
So this is a beer that is, it's Australian, and it is one that is a pale ale, but it looks a lot darker than your normal pale ale. It's one that I've been drinking for 2-3 years because I love all things Australian. And so this is called Coopers. Well, it's made by Coopers, and it is the original pale ale by Coopers. Again, it tastes dark going in, but it really finishes more like a blonde ale, I feel like.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's very pleasant. I hadn't heard of it before until you introduced me to it, and I'm glad you did. It's very nice.
You're welcome.
It definitely, it's very flavorful, but it's got a little bit of that hoppiness, which is nice. It adds some extra flavor, but it finishes nice and smooth. Definitely not as kind of watery as some pale ales can get. So I definitely really like it.
Yeah, and like I said last week, it's one of those that is, it's very, very good when it's ice cold. But when it's not, it's like, don't even drink
right.
It almost tastes like an ashtray when it's a little warm. But when it is ice cold, goodness, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I do really like it. It's very good. It's got a kangaroo in the little too.
I mean, I do have a special place in my heart for Australia.
It's good.
So kind of transitioning into our news segment, we've got a lot here for you. We've got four main topics of just of our news segment before we get into what you're all here for, the Google Pixel 4a. So Google is under investigation because of their Fitbit acquisition in Europe. The European Union has launched an investigation. And so I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, this is something that has been in the works for almost a year now, at least the acquisition has. I believe it was announced in, what, September, October of last year? So there's a lot of groundwork that has been laid for the investigation, I'm sure.
And it seems like the issues that people have with it, or the EU is having with it, is primarily just with what Google does with the extra level of data collection that they can get through something like a Fitbit. And I believe Google has kind of verbally promised to not utilize that, you know, fitness data that they'd be collecting from it for ad tracking or things like that. But that's the motivation behind the investigation, as I understand it, is just whether or not that extra level of data collection gives Google an extra level of unfair advantage over competition.
I don't think really that it's going to give them an unfair advantage in the long run, because actually, who am I kidding? Of course it's going to give them a freaking huge advantage.
Right.
Because what are they? They're Google. They're the world's largest search engine. And how do they make money?
Data.
Yes. Which is used to sell better what?
Ads.
And why did they buy Android?
To sell ads.
Why did they buy YouTube?
To sell ads.
Why do they buy Nest?
To infiltrate your home?
To sell you better ads. Yeah,
exactly.
But at the same time, what really is their competition? Bing? Get the fuck out. So as someone that works in advertising, you might have a $10,000 to $15,000 Google ad budget a month for a car dealership. Sometimes that gets way the fuck up there, well over $50,000 to $60,000. It really just depends on your market, what you're willing to spend. And then you might have a $500 to $1,000 Bing budget. So it's like, you know, it's not there. You know, Bing is primarily used by your older demographic, primarily, or people looking how to download another browser.
Right.
That's really it.
So yeah, it seems like, you know, attacking Google's Fitbit acquisition over antitrust issues is not in any way approaching the root of your problem. If you're wanting to talk about antitrust problems, it goes way deeper than just, you know, acquiring a wearable company. So this seems like an odd place to take a stand. But I can absolutely understand the concern. And I know that a lot of tech giants have testified in front of Congress recently about antitrust related type stuff. And there have been other companies bringing up other issues with Apple or with Amazon or with any of
Don Jr. getting fucking Twitter deleted. They fucking asked Zuckerberg about that.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of attention put on these antitrust issues around these large companies and whether or not they are stifling competition. And I kind of have mixed feelings about it. On one hand, yeah, like, can you imagine trying to start up a competitor to Google? How do you even approach that? How do you even start that?
Yeah, but like, I actually was just kind of thinking something very similar along those lines last night, because in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, primarily, you really only had three TV channels. And so all of these other channels that we have now, ESPN, MTV, they all started around that time. But the point is like, they all had to start somewhere, right? And they all had to face these big giants, these mega, I mean, essentially, if you want to look at it, like David Goliath at the time, because right. These were new channels. So you all have to start somewhere.
The difference, I think, though, is something like a tech company. And again, just kind of playing devil's advocate here. The difference with something like a tech company is that they have an advantage that you can't get by just having a compelling product. Like, you can't compete with Google by making a phone that's better than the Pixel, right? Because the advantage that Google gives you is so far beyond any individual element of their offer. So you see companies all over the place that are making phones better than a Pixel from a hardware perspective, but the sheer amount of data collection that Google has access to, the user information, the apps that they have access to, everything that's in their app store, their Play store, you know, all that stuff that you can't really build a competitor to overnight. And I know that's an issue even a company as large as Microsoft faced with Windows Phone. Is you can make a really compelling product. I really like Windows Phone. But if you don't have users, you don't get apps. And if you don't have apps, you don't get users.
Well, here's the thing that kind of fucking, like, where Microsoft shot themselves in the foot with the Microsoft mobile OS Windows Phone was they were charging companies to put that OS on phones. Google's like, here, it's free. Take it. That's how Android is as big as it is today.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yeah, so I'm sure that there were lots of elements that contributed to that. The only reason that I left Windows Phone is because there are no apps. So playing devil's advocate, I can absolutely understand the issue that you might have with large tech companies like this. I don't have a particular issue with it, but I can see how down the road, we'll see how it plays out.
Well, kind of leading into antitrust in terms of what information do you have and what are you going to do with it? The Google speaker, right? So Google speakers, Nest, and all of that were actually listening when they shouldn't have in some cases, not necessarily all cases, but, you know, there were times where our Nest speaker by our bed would light up. We're like, what the fuck? Like, we didn't say the keywords like, okay, in Google,
right?
Or hey, Google. I have to be careful because I have a Pixel device and a Google Nest right over there.
My phone's already tripped like twice in the recording. So
I haven't even looked at mine. I'm trying to. I've got it on flip to shh.
Oh, there you go.
So essentially what happened was Google was listening. Google was being like all Watergate over here, you know?
Yeah. So I looked into this a bit, and at least the way Google's saying this happened, and this seems accurate. I don't have any reason to distrust what they're saying. But essentially what happened is Google Nest recently partnered with ADT, which is a security company, over kind of combining their two services and allowing ADT devices to play nicely with Google. And one of the features that they added with that was for the ability of Google speakers to detect your smoke alarm going off or your security alarm going off and then notify you on your phone that your smoke alarm is going off. So even if you don't have a smart smoke alarm, you can use your speakers to detect if things happening at your house. Well, apparently they rolled that feature out to more speakers than they were intending to. And instead of just rolling it out to people who had a premium Nest Aware subscription and who had ADT devices, they rolled it out to many, many more people who did not have any of those subscriptions or devices. So they had never been presented with terms or agreements on that. They had never been told that their device would be capable of doing that. And so the devices were activating and recording information they had not been given permission to record. So it seems like an innocent enough mistake at its root. I mean, they just rolled it out to the wrong people. But you can see where that gets hairy when you consider the fact that, yeah, those people didn't consent to those speakers being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, given everything that's happened with Cambridge Analytica and people being more paranoid about what Google knows, now they know more than they should. And like we've talked about, like, I don't really care that they do, because like I have nothing to hide and I'd rather see better personalized ads.
Right. That's a personal decision that everyone should have the right to make.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you.
Right.
But what I think is like more fucked up is like, it's like they basically just watched you change in the bathroom without you knowing about it. Like Peeping Tom. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that they have the ability to roll out an update like that, they could just fundamentally change what that device is capable of recording. And they didn't notify you that they did it.
Yeah, right.
It just happened. And then it was only when someone found out and kind of called them on it that they backtracked and said, oh, wait, yeah, we'll roll that back.
I mean, it's all really fucked up. But, you know, they've since disabled that feature.
They have rolled it back.
At least they're walking back with their tail between their legs a little bit there.
Yep.
Switching gears here, the company that owns OnePlus, you might have heard of them. They're called Oppo, which short for opportunity. No, kidding. They're coming out with a new phone, the Oppo Reno Pro 4. And it's got some specs and a really cheap price range, too.
It makes sense that this is a company that's associated with OnePlus. They own the majority of stock, or they're the sole owner of stock in OnePlus, because this is a phone that it on paper is very nearly identical to the OnePlus Nord. And interestingly, it'll also compete in similar markets. This isn't available in the US again, but it's similar in a few ways. For example, it has the 90 hertz 1080p screen. It has 8 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, 4,000 milliamp hour battery. It has the 4 camera setup, including the 2 megapixel macro. That's all shared stuff with the OnePlus Nord. The only noticeable differences are that it has a Snapdragon 720G processor, whereas the Nord has a 765G. And it has 65 watt charging. They call it Super VOOC, V-O-O-C.
2.0,
yeah. Which 65 watt is insane. It says that it can fill up the battery in 36 minutes, which is absolutely nuts. But yeah, other than that, it's a $470 equivalent. Again, not available in the US.
But it will be available in my beloved wannabe homeland of Australia.
Ah.
You've got India. You've got China, which the Chinese version will have 5G capabilities according to CNET.
Oh, cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely not going to be here in the US, but oh well. I'll be happy with my Pixel 4a when it ships in 3 weeks.
Yep, and we'll get into that in a second, but definitely the mid-range market is heating up, and a lot of these companies are, and I guess Oppo is a company that's always kind of had a foothold there, but these phones are getting noticeably more premium.
Yeah.
They're always used to be cheap phone. But
especially with the hardware. Like, the hardware is more premium. Although the 720G processor, I mean, we're kind of shitting on the Pixel 4a, which we'll get into later, about having a 730G instead of like the 765 or an 800 series.
Yeah, it's definitely a low-end processor, but some of the other features would be nice. The 65-watt charging, the 90-hertz screen, it's all great.
Well, the 720G with the 4,000 milliamp-hour battery, in theory, that's going to like be an all-day phone.
Yeah, even with the 90 hertz screen, you should get pretty decent battery life out of that.
Oh, yeah. So that's pretty exciting.
Yep.
The last thing we want to talk about in our news segment is Amazon, the competitor to our beloved Google. No, kidding. Anyway, so the last thing we're going to get into is the Amazon. They just got FCC approval for their very own satellite.
Well, a satellite network. So SpaceX is the first company to be actively pursuing a constellation net broadband internet service. So they'll put thousands of satellites into low Earth orbit, and they'll all work together in this massive grid, a constellation that will able to provide you internet anywhere on the planet with really good speeds compared to previous satellite networks that were way fewer satellites, way higher up in orbit, where you only went with it if it was your only. So SpaceX has done that, and it's they've had no competition in that market until now, where Amazon has actually also gotten FCC approval for a similar network. It's called Project Kuiper, and they want to put 3,236 broadband satellites into orbit, which will be able to give you internet anywhere on Earth. And yeah, they're joining SpaceX to be the only two companies in the market for this type of thing.
And really, we should all be thanking my wife for this, because of my wife and her Amazon addiction, if you will, Amazon was able to pay this in full in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, it seems like it's the type of thing that would be very cost ineffective. Like, you'd be dumping so much money. You know, launching stuff into space is really expensive, although it helps when you own a space company, and Jeff Bezos owns Blue Origin. So
who?
Jeff Bezos?
Who's that?
He owns your entire life.
No, that'd be my wife.
Oh, right. Well, he owns her. So yeah, it seems like a particularly cost ineffective way of approaching internet, right? Like, fiber internet's good. Cable internet even is fine for most people. Why would you launch thousands of satellites into orbit? That's incredibly expensive, even if you're someone like Jeff Bezos who owns a rocket company. But the competitive advantage it can give you is massive. Competition is really low. There's not going to be many other people trying to do it. And the advantages, of course, are that you get the same internet anywhere. And in fact, there's kind of unintuitively, there's a speed advantage. You can actually get faster internet by sending signals up into space and then going through a space network and back down.
As opposed to like going through the ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
When you think about it on a global scale, it makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're thinking about it just like in your apartment, it doesn't make sense, right? But if you're trying to run cables across the entire planet, that gets really ineffective really quick. And so this actually, the first customers to line up for SpaceX's version of this called Starlink were stock traders and people who realized that you could get that couple extra milliseconds of advantage in speed by having this type of approach. So when you zoom out big picture and when you have billions of dollars to throw at something, it's actually a very cost-effective and efficient solution to a problem.
Yeah, I can see that. So transitioning into the main big ticket item here, which is funny because it was actually pretty cheap, all things considered, that is the Google Pixel 4a. My wife and I, we pre-ordered ours. They ship in about 2 to 3 weeks. And I got to say, I fit well into their target market here. The reason for that is because, yes, I would love to have the OnePlus Nord. I'd love it. But when I compare the camera as what it is on the OnePlus Nord versus what the Google device will have, I realize a little bit more now so than when I made the claim that I'd rather have the OnePlus Nord, that the camera is actually a pretty important feature for me. Like, I fall really well into that wheelhouse. The other thing that I love so much is I love stock Android. I love the lack of bloatware. I love being able to get the OS updates fast, a lot sooner than everyone else. I really enjoy that from a braggadocious standpoint, but also more so because a lot of these features that Android comes out with excite me. You know, like even on Android 11, part of the reason why I wanted to do the beta was because of the new lock screen. That's so much more convenient to me to be able to turn my lights off by long pressing the power button instead of unlocking the phone, like going through my folder, opening up the home app, and then scrolling till I find my device, hit the power off, and then whatever. I can just unlock my phone, long press, tap, done. It's so much more convenient. But anyway, I really fall really well into their target market here.
And I think a lot of people fall really well into their target market. This is a very well-positioned device. And I agree with you that talking about it in the context of the OnePlus Nord, on paper, it can look a little bit outmatched. Again, understanding the Nord isn't available in the US, but it's an interesting comparison to make because I think they're kind of polar opposites in terms of their approach to the budget market, where the Nord tries to offer you as much specs as it can, you know, the best hardware that it can on paper. It'll outmatch the Pixel 4a in almost every category on paper. However, when it comes to user experience, when it comes to personalization of your experience, and software features and camera, Google has it solidly beat.
Well, that was one of the things that Dieter from The Verge had mentioned, was they did a lot of stuff right. And that a lot of stuff right was the camera.
Right.
They focused on that one main area, and then they built the rest of the phone around a quality stock Android experience.
Right. Which I think is ultimately a potentially better way to approach it. I think that I'm sure that the OnePlus Nord is a great phone, but I think that its shortcomings will show, especially after you've used something as polished as a Pixel before. And I'll say, I've mentioned it before, I have the S20 Ultra. Looking through the product page for the Pixel 4a got me kind of jealous. And that that's insane because I have a phone that destroys it hardware wise.
And it's three times the cost.
Right. So the cost proposition is a whole thing on its own that, of course, you know, the what you're getting for your money is absurd. But there's so many niceties that Google can offer that you just don't get on even the best of the best of competitors. Things like as simple as call screening or the little notification, not even notification, the little song identifier on your lock screen where you can just glance at your phone that's sitting next to you at a restaurant and see what song it is without ever having to look it up. Things like that, or the auto HDR in the cameras, which is fantastic, or instant access to the newest updates. That's all stuff that I wish I had on my phone that costs three or four times as much.
Speaking of the camera, you're only getting one lens. And part of that was probably because Google was like, we're going to make this phone cheap. We can give it one really good camera followed by two or three really shitty ones. Or we could just not have those, reduce the cost, and make it easier for everyone to acquire. So no telephoto, no wide angle. It's going to be slow at processing photos, slower than a Pixel 4, Pixel 3, just because it's not got that processor to handle the fastness of that it needs to. It's got low resolution. It stands up to the Pixel 4 and even iPhones in terms of the photos that it takes. Well, newer iPhones, I should say. So I'm pretty excited. I mean, I've seen some of the photos from MKBHD, from The Verge, from other reviewers. I spent probably 2-3 hours yesterday just reading reviews and watching reviews and unboxings of it. But it's still not a great video camera. I watched several people do some vlog type shots with it and even some B-roll. And there is like a lot of like noise with it. I don't know if it's my TV or what, but it looked glitchy a little bit. Laggy is probably a better word. But the microphone was also it was like a really, really cheap $20, really bad condenser microphone that just picked up everything. So still no wireless charging. It's a plastic build, so you kind of expect that. But it's 2020. Like, I'd rather have the wireless charging than a headphone jack. I know that's not the popular opinion, but I'm going to say it because that's how I feel. But, you know, it is a bigger screen than what I'm getting, than what I currently have on my Pixel 2. So that's nice because I was really wanting an Excel version of this 4A because I have fat thumbs and I can just hit the wrong button too many fucking times. It's really annoying. And then the battery life. I've seen only one person kind of complain about it so far. And that was just because I guess maybe they had too much screen on time. Like they were probably pushing between 7 and 8 hours of screen on time, which is insane. But, you know, you have a 730G processor with a 3140 milliamp hour battery. So it's going to be able to have a lot of battery life. I remember when I was watching the advert for this phone, they were talking about how, or maybe it wasn't even the advert, maybe it was just Kelly, my wife, was scrolling down on the website to pre-order and it was advertising all day battery. And I thought to myself, yeah, probably if you don't use it at all, you know, because like look at the Pixel 4. Horrendous battery life. But MKBHD and a lot of other people were saying they were getting at least 4 to 5 hours. Well, MKBHD specifically, 4 to 5 hours of screen on time comfortably with 10 to 20% battery left at the end of the day.
That's good enough.
Yeah. That's good enough for me. I got to be honest though, the fingerprint scanner coming back to where it should be, I like it.
Yeah, I think that all of those things, you know, they've made good compromises where they've had to. I think that the one lens on the camera, no problem there. They did that all the way up to their flagship phones all the way up to the Pixel 3 were single lens on the rear. There's no issue there. The processor, of course, is a little, you know, disappointing, but I'm sure that it'll be good enough for most people unless you're doing excessive amounts of gaming or anything. I don't think you'll notice it hugely. I mean, Marquez commented on it coming from, you know, 120 hertz, 865 phone. So I'm sure that he would notice it, but your average person isn't going to notice it that much. Video camera, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the iPhone will have it beat there. If you want a cheap video camera phone, the iPhone SE is probably better, but otherwise.
I mean, the iPhone SE has a way better chip. I mean, it doubled the 730Gs.
That's the one thing that the iPhone SE has on this. If you're trying to compare the apples and oranges here, it's definitely that's the one area that the SE has a leg up on because it has that top-notch processor. That's the same processor that's in the 11 Pro Max. That's a good value there. But again, you know, if you're considering an iPhone, you're probably not in the target market for a Pixel 4a.
One of the other things that you're going to kind of notice about this 4a is, remember how like the iPhone 6 was bendable?
Yeah.
Apparently the Pixel 4a is a little bit flimsy in that manner.
Yeah.
According to MKBHD.
Yeah, I saw that in his video. I mean, when you do an all plastic construction like that, you might end up losing a little bit of the case rigidity that you would get from having a metal or glass design. But I'm sure it's also flexible in a good way, in the sense that it's not going to shatter from impact.
A glass back for wireless charging would be so much better.
Yeah, I would miss wireless charging. It's one of those things that 5 years ago when people started putting it in phones, nobody cared about. But at this point, there's enough accessories available for it. I mean, the iPhones have it, so everything has built-in wireless charging. And not having that as an option would suck. And the other thing I've noticed with that, actually on my Pixel 2, it was a problem. The not having wireless charging means that you will wear out your port more often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I've had my Pixel 2 replaced now.
Yeah, having to unplug it and plug it in every single day, at least once a day, you're going to wear out that port a lot more. And if you have... Well,
to be fair, my Pixel 2, the first one that I had, it lasted nearly 2 years.
Right.
And then Google still factory warrantied.
Oh, okay.
Like replaced it for free.
Well, that's good.
I just had to go like 5 days without a phone interviewing for a job that I no longer have. No, it took like 22 months for it to wear out.
Okay.
And so, I mean, that's still pretty good. Yeah, and the fact that they replaced it for free after all that time, that's still pretty amazing to me.
Yep. That's absolutely a good point. I wasn't aware of their policies on that. But yeah, I mean, if they're going to replace it, that's good enough. Plus, there's a headphone jack, which means that you're not adding the extra usage on that port of having to plug in and out audio headphones.
Do people actually use that port for headphones?
I did all the time.
Really?
Yeah, on my Pixel 2. Because for the longest time, I didn't have really any good Bluetooth earbuds or headphones or anything. I still used wired ones. So yeah, for me, I definitely utilize that little dongle that they send in the box. Yeah, also for my car, I didn't have Bluetooth audio in my car for a long time. And so yeah, every time I got my car, I needed to plug it in. I don't think that the no wireless charging is a deal breaker for most people, but yeah, it definitely sucks to have it.
Yeah, it would definitely be really nice to have. But some of the cool things that you get here with the 4A that are new, you get live transcription on any video.
Yeah.
Which is something that on my Pixel 2, I have to a point. But it's not complete. And even something like read this article, it doesn't always work. Like when I was trying to read the Washington Post article about the Washington football team and all the drama that was going on in their camp, it wouldn't do it. So I had to actually read it, which I was trying to avoid. But regardless, it's there. And that's one of the things you can get with Android. I don't know how widely rolled out that feature will be, but it's there. The other thing that you get is you get 3 months of YouTube Premium. You get 100 gigs of Google Drive storage, I guess because you're not getting the photos for free. You also get some Play Pass features, which is who really cares.
Yeah, I've never used a Play Pass. I guess if you play a lot of games, I can see the appeal of it.
Yeah, but you're not a mobile gamer.
Not much.
No. I think your wife is a little bit. I saw a game on her phone out on the...
There's a Harry Potter game she plays a lot of. I play a game called Polytopia a lot, which is like a really dumbed down version of Civilization. She played that on your computer. It's just a really simplified, you know, Civilization builder. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Definitely not a very intensive game. And yeah, I don't switch around a lot of different games. I don't try out a bunch of new apps very often. But I'm sure that it would be cool to have that ability. You could try it out for 3 months, see if you like it. The other cool thing about the 3 months of YouTube Premium is that also includes YouTube Music, which most people probably have a subscription service for a music streaming app already, but it gives you a chance to try out YouTube Music. I've been trying it out recently, actually, because I have YouTube Premium.
So it says here, I've got it pulled up. It's buy a Pixel 4a now and enjoy entertainment games and apps and extra storage with 3 months trials, 3 month trials of YouTube Premium, Google Play Pass, and Google One on us. So that 100 gigs is nice, but that's probably just because you're not getting the photos at unlimited storage.
And it's still just 3 months of that, right?
I hope not.
Oh, no.
Because I really need that. Let's be honest. Because like I'm already paying for Google Drive storage at this point, and that's with my free Google Photo and video storage that I got.
Yeah, I pay the like $2 a month 100 gig fee.
So it's saying Google One membership. That's not necessarily saying anything about 100 gigs. The 100 gigs that I saw came from Mr. Who's Boss in his review video. So it might be different based off of geographic location.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. I don't know. That's speculation. Don't listen to that. It means nothing.
Okay. I've already forgotten.
But yeah, so those are some of the cool things you get with the Pixel 4a. So that's things that I'm looking forward to. The other thing is why I like the Pixel 4a on paper and from the reviews that I've watched and read. It's basic. Stock Android, no bloatware. I won't notice a major difference, such as like 60 hertz, because that's pretty much what I have now on a Pixel 2. I've used your phone at, 90 hertz? My eyes couldn't keep up. But at the same time, I'm really not going to notice a huge difference. The other thing is, I feel like you get more for your money for the Google Pixel 4a than, for example, the Google Pixel 4. That was almost twice to three times this budget or this price. And the alleged battery life that's supposed to be better. So all those things put me well into this target market here. So I'm really not going to notice a difference in some of the lesser quality processors. Would I, if I had maybe a 90 hertz or 120 hertz? Quite possibly. But coming from a Pixel 2, it's not going to be that big of a difference for me. I'm coming from an outdated phone that's going on 3 years since it was launched, right? I've oohed and awed and over newer phones like the 3, the 3A, the 4, and now the 4A. And I will continue to ooh and awe over the 5 and the 5A and the 5G. But I'm not really going to notice too much. The other thing is the price. It's $350. The Google Pixel 4 started at what? $899 or something like that?
I think $899.
Yeah. Like, and you get shit with it. Like, you get terrible battery life. You get Project Solly, which nobody gives a shit about. It's one of those gimmicks that they just throw in there to say, hey, look at this potential,
right,
that you and what you can do with it, which is fine. But the fact that that was a major selling point is like, damn, who really gives a shit? It's like the Xbox Kinect. It failed for a reason. People want to sit down on their couch and play video games. They don't want to get up and bowl. If they did, they would go to a bowling alley. But the things that I don't like, it's a hole punch. It's going to annoy the fuck out of me, right? It's so annoying. Like, I don't like anything in my viewport at all.
Have you daily driven a phone with the hole punch before?
No, I haven't.
You'll get you.
I'm saying, like, if someone is sitting in front of me and their head is too big, I will get annoyed and pissed.
Oh, I understand that. I mean, Kendra doesn't clean off her laptop screen nearly as much as I do. We'll be watching Netflix and a little, like, speck of dirt will be on there and it drives me nuts. I absolutely understand that. I can't stand stuff being on my screen. I have not noticed a hole punch. It's not a problem.
I might just go into dev options and disable it.
Oh, you just turn on the fake notch or like a
no, not bar. Even the notch, just the big forehead.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing I don't like is you have a bottom firing speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that because I watch a lot of shit on my phone. Yeah. And I turn it landscape and I hold it with primarily my left hand. So it's going to be firing and projecting it outward and make it like way louder than it needs to be.
Yep.
I like frontward firing stereo speakers, which I understand is hard to do when you're trying to make a bezel-less phone. I understand that, but there has to be a better way. But at this point in time, nobody knows what that is, right? And then Android 10 is what it ships with, not Android 11.
Yeah.
And since my wife and I are both on Android 11 beta, we're basically, when we're copying everything over from the older phones to the new 4As, that's going to cause a potential issue because we're going to have to update to the beta right away.
They're shipping it just before, you know, Android 11 is actually available. So
like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Weeks.
So you'll just have a few weeks there where you'll have to wait on the update, but you'll be first in line to get it.
Lord Jesus. I don't know. I mean, that's just what I like and don't like. And that's my take on it because, again, I fall really well into that target market.
Yep.
You... not so much. You'd probably be suited for like a fully specced out, maybe hopefully. Well, you can't get a fully specced out Pixel at all.
It kind of sucks because if they could make a hardware competitor to the S20 line, something like or the OnePlus 8 series with their software, man, that'd be a very compelling phone.
Yeah.
As far as whether or not this falls into my, you know, demographic, clearly the fact that I own an S20 Ultra shows that I like to pay more for unnecessary features. And
but the thing is like you complain a little bit about how you wish you had some of the software features that are available on the Pixel devices, but yet you will, in some cases, overpay for hardware that is going to be mediocre or maybe not nearly close to being the standard in the next year or so.
Right. Being a hardware nerd kind of is unsatisfying in that respect, because yeah, it's constantly being one-upped. You're never going to have the best for very long. I definitely find that I like to pay more for the good hardware. I find that software is easier to compensate for or easier to put up with. You know, if you have great software on crappy hardware, it feels like a worse experience to me than having kind of crappy software on great hardware, especially when it's something as noticeable as like a 120 hertz screen or a good battery or lots of RAM. Those are all things that'll tangibly interact with how you deal with the phone. So for me personally, yeah, I would rather pay a lot of extra money for better hardware. And I wish that that was an option in the Pixel line, because yeah, there are a lot of those software features that are exclusive to Pixels that I really wish I had. But yeah, you know, that's kind of where I stand on it. I absolutely understand the appeal of the 4A. It's a very compelling device. And if I hadn't already gone to a 120 hertz screen, because I don't feel like I can go back at this point, you know, it would be a really compelling, if I still had my 3, you know, and I hadn't made this upgrade, the 4A would actually be a really compelling thing for me. But having, you know, seen the light of the Samsung S20, having experienced what truly overkill hardware feels like, I don't know that I'll go back.
I don't know, man. I'm pumped for this new phone. Yeah. I can't wait.
And you should be.
I mean, it's been almost 3 years since I got a new phone.
Yep.
Well, a new, not replacement phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited for it. Yep. We've already ordered our cases and protective glass screens. And so we're pumped. We're ready to go. We're just waiting on the damn devices to get here.
Yeah, man. That pre-order feeling is unique, because you've already bought it. You've already paid for it. You know you're getting it. You just spend all your time looking over the product page again and again and again, just anticipating it. Yep. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I spent 2 to 3 hours probably in the last day or so just watching reviews and unboxing, reading some a little bit too. So I actually have an article that we didn't get to really talk about today on my phone that I haven't really read yet. It's about battery life on the 4A for the first 2 weeks of ownership. I think it was Android Central maybe.
Okay, yeah.
But I've got to read it. And so I think that'd be something that interesting that we could talk about next week potentially. But who knows what we'll talk about next week.
Yep.
Oh, Samsung's launch.
Oh, yeah. We'll have whatever their Note and new Fold and, you know, all that stuff.
Their new Fold. Yes.
The new Fold.
I don't know. I'd rather have the Razer phone.
The Razer. Yeah, the Motorola Razer. I thought you were talking about the Razer company. They're about due for another release. The Razer phone 2 is old. It's
Yeah. I mean, it's been, what, 2 years?
Yeah, it's at least 2 years old, which is a bummer because they added a 120 hertz screen. You know, they were early to the pack on a lot of those hardware upgrades.
So that's going to be it for this episode, guys. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TheFanboyPod. Check out our website, unbiasedfanboys.com. And any last words for the people?
Don't drink and drive.
Do not drink and drive.
Also wear a mask.
Yes. Don't be a dick. Remember, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as online at unbiasedfanboys.com and on social media at TheFanboyPod.
And feel free to let us know your thoughts about the topic or our podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
So drop us a message on social media or on our website. Don't forget to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform.
Have a good day.
Adios, amigos.